Dustin. He does a good job with that, and thankful for him. Appreciate Brother Stephen reading the word as well. Pray for one another, and pray that God will be glorified in the message today as well. If you have your Bibles, we invite your attention to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 10 and go through verse 13. The Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." Now, understand, whenever we talk about the word "your care" there, it literally means, bear with me for just a second here, well, it means your care. You know, the way that they looked after him, the way they have taken care of him and so on, you have revived your care. You've done it before, you're doing it now. Then he says, "Your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the blessings you give us. God, we ask right now as we prepare to get into these verses that God, you would first of all help us to be a blessing. Help us to rightly divide your word. Help us to keep things in context. Lord, I pray that you would help us to honor you. God, I pray that you'd help us to just love you more in all we do. Lord, if there be one here this morning that's lost, I pray that they'd turn from their sin, they'd turn from themselves, and Lord, they'd turn to you, trusting and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for their justification. Lord, we love you, and we thank you again for all you do. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago as we were here, we looked at verses 8 and 9, and it says, "Whatever things, think on these things." What are the things we should think on? Those things that are true. Those things that are pure, those things that are just, those things which are noble, those things which are lovely, those things which are honest. Anything that's praiseworthy, think on these things. Then we come to verses 10 through 13. Now verses 10 through 12 is very well known. And then verse 13 is one of the most well-known Bible verses in Scripture. But it's also one of the two most abused, taken out of context in Scripture too. And I'm going to give you a hint. Verse 13 is not talking about running touchdowns or hitting home runs. So let's see the context here in these verses. The Bible says in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Now, give you a little bit of a background here. Verses 10 through 19, Paul is expressing his gratitude to the Philippians for their kind expressions of love and the generous gift, the love offering that they sent him, and provides a powerful example of how Christians can be content regardless of their circumstances. Verses 10 through 13 certainly gives a glimpse at this as well. Now you need to understand about 10 years had passed since the Philippian church had first given an offering to Paul to help him meet his needs when he was in Thessalonica. Now, Paul here has the knowledge and is aware of their desire to continue to help them, to continue to be a blessing to him. But he realized that within God's providence that they had not had the opportunity to do so before, but now here they are again wanting to revive or to help again with this. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, and I want you to follow along very closely, not that I speak in regard to need. He said, what I'm getting ready to say, it's not because I have a need. I'm okay. Then he says this, for I have learned in whatsoever state or whatever state I am to be content. Whatever state that he is in, he is content. Now I understand, and I know you all know this, but it's always a joke amongst preachers, you know, chuckle if you want, roll your eyes, whatever. But the state he's talking about is not Kentucky or Missouri or Illinois or anything else. He's talking about his life in general, where he's at in life, the position that he's in life. Notice, says, whatever state I am, to be content. You know, one of the greatest needs for God's people today is to be content. You know, there's a fine line in ambition and being discontent. You know, some people have the idea that you gotta have the American dream, so to speak. You gotta have the three bed, two bath. You gotta have the 2-car garage. You gotta have the 1.5 children. And then you've gotta have on top of that, you've gotta have just whatever else you want. Because that's the American dream, right? And there's nothing wrong with having things. The problem is when things have you. I don't think Paul had that problem. Paul was a man that was content. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, keep in context with his life when he's talking about being content. He was a man that we really don't see or hear of him having a home of his own to call. He's traveling around preaching the gospel. Again, is there anything wrong with having a home? No. But that isn't what God had called him to do. He had there preaching the gospel. He was thrown in prison. He's had the shipwrecks. Well, several shipwrecks. They tried to stone him and kill him several times. And I'm going to tell you, I probably maybe could handle someone trying to kill me. I could probably handle a lot of things. But man, when that snake jumped out and latched onto him, I'm done. I can't do that. Now, I say that jokingly because I know God will give you grace. But here's the thing. Man, he's content. He's content in the middle of what we would call the mess. He is content in all that mess. But I have a hard time being content when things are going well. Whenever I'm living in comfort and ease. I think we can learn a lot of lessons from the Apostle Paul, especially when it comes to being content. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul, as he was writing, knew that his needs would be met and taken care of, and that he could and would be satisfied and content in the Lord. But understand this, Paul was also seeking the face of God and what he'd have him to do. Now, I want you to consider this too. John MacArthur said this about verse 11. He said, Paul defined the circumstances in the following verse, content. That Greek word means to be self-sufficient or to be satisfied. It is the same word translated sufficiency in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And it indicates independence from any need for help. Why? Because His help comes from the Lord. It reminds me of the Old Testament in the Psalm where it says, from whence does my help come from? It comes from the mountain. It comes from the Lord. We need to remember that. Too many times, and I'm talking about me. I can't speak about you. I don't know you that intimately, but I know myself. And too often, I am so caught up and wrapped up in me that I am not near as content as I should be. God has my needs. Not my wants, mind you, but my needs. And sometimes He will go above and beyond and give me a want. But here's the thing, He doesn't have to. He's not obligated to. Paul learned to live within the state of being content. I want you to look at verse 12. Paul continues on and says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now here's the thing. Paul wasn't just using empty words while ago. He says, hey, I've learned to be content. I've learned to not have need. To be satisfied. Because then in verse 12, he says this, he knew how to be humbled. That's abased. He knew how to abound, to overflow in abundance. It didn't matter the circumstances. And whether it also had to do with him getting his belly full or just enough to sustain him for the night or even going hungry. And listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I know one time I had to fast to have surgery. And then after I ate, this is like when I was a freshman in high school, then I could at least have chicken broth. For about 2 or 3 days afterward. You know, I thought I was hungry then. I don't know what hunger is. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Probably most of us here have never really understood what it is to be hungry. Not at least compared to some folks in other parts of this world. But Paul had suffered. Paul had struggled. Paul had been hungry. And still yet, he was able to say, I'm okay. I am okay. It's all right. You know, I hear people talk about the supply chain in the grocery stores and stuff. Could it be that we're getting just a small taste of what might be coming down the road? We get upset and think about, well, I can't get this seasoning, or I can't get this, or I can't get that. What about if we were right now like the Ukrainians? Where they are totally cut off, like a lot of people. What would we do? How would we feel? Who knows what's going to come down the line, folks? And here's the thing. It's scary to even think about that. But whether we're abundant, overflowing with food like now, or whether it be we're starving to death, may we be like the Apostle Paul, that we can say, I am content with what God has given. Do we know how it is? Oh, I know we know how it is to abandon. But do we know what it's really like to suffer need? I want to come to verse 13. Folks, verse 13, as I said before, it's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, but it's also one of the most abused verses. Now, let me also say this. Unfortunately, to my discredit, I have abused this verse before. I'm not proud of it. So please don't think to yourself, oh man, I've done that before. Brother Troy must think I'm a heretic. No, I don't. And you know, I don't even mind sometimes people make an application of things. But you've got to keep it in context. Okay? There is only one interpretation of Scripture. You don't have multiple interpretations where it fits your truth, as you hear, or it fits their truth. No, there is only one truth. And the Scripture must fit what the Scripture teaches. So, look at verse 13. The Bible says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I want to say this. I appreciate Tim Tebow. I appreciate his outspokenness for the things of the Lord. I am so thankful for that. I'd rather young people be listening to him than a lot of this other junk out there. But verse 13 is not talking about throwing the touchdown pass or hitting a home run or hitting a curve as he couldn't do a couple of years ago. But, here's the thing. It is talking about what Paul was speaking of in verses 10 through 12. What was he talking about there? Being content. Being satisfied in the Lord. Listen, Troy McGahan, left to himself, is not going to be satisfied. Troy McGahan is not going to be content. Troy McGahan is a selfish, selfish man that always wants more, that always wants what he wants. But understand, by the power of God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to do this, we can, Troy McGahan can be content. And I can be satisfied. Notice, I can do all things. I can be satisfied in all ways. I can be satisfied in whatever state I'm in and be content. Why? Because I do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. While I appreciate the guys, you've heard of these strongman groups, right? Christian groups. Man, they're all buff, and gosh, man, they got chest out to here, and they're strong, and man, they can bench press 600 pounds, and that's impressive. But sometimes they'll get these real thick phone books. I don't even know if they have phone books now or not. In these big cities, and they say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then they'll rip it in half. That's impressive. But the Apostle Paul wasn't talking about ripping a phone book. I appreciate Tim Tebow standing up and saying and giving God credit whenever he would score a touchdown or hit a ball. But understand, the Apostle Paul wasn't talking about that whenever he penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What he was talking about is being content. Whether things are great or whether you're suffering, that you can be content in the things of God. I want to ask you a question today. First of all, as a child of God, Are you content with what God, what state you're in right now? You know, sometimes we're so confused by this world because they tell us, more, more, more. Give me more. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with more. As long as those things don't have you. Let me ask you this too. Are you content with your relationship with God? Now, let me explain something here. This is going to go against the context of what we're talking about for a minute. Too many people are not content with things, but they're content with a lackluster relationship and service and fellowship with God. We're not to be content with just a passing slap on the back, so to speak, with God. If you have that intimate, personal interaction with Him through prayer, through Bible reading, through service. Let me also ask you this, if you're here today and you're lost, are you looking for something more? Oh, so many people are. They don't know it. Why do you think the drug addict is strung out of their mind? Even though they hate it, they know they shouldn't do it. Why do they keep doing it? Because they're searching for something to fill that void, that emptiness. Why does that drunk that's in the gutter, that's defecating himself and using the bathroom on himself in all manners of ways, that whenever he wakes up sober, he thinks, what am I doing? And then he goes and does it again. What about the whoremonger? What about, just name any number of things. What's the problem? The problem is they're searching for something and they've not found it. Maybe you're here today and you're searching. Let me tell you what. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're here today and you know you're lost, you know that you do not have a Savior, you know that if you died in your sins right now, that you would lift your eyes in hell. I'm going to tell you, turn to Him. Call upon His name. Trust that He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day for your justification. To make you just as if you never sinned. To forgive you and to cleanse you from your sin. That is what you need. You don't need alcohol. You don't need drugs. You don't need physical intimacy. You need intimacy with Christ. And you need to call upon His name. Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all, we invite you to come.